The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
Welcome to the closing market report for Tuesday, May 27th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll have our weekly discussion of the energy market with Mike Wolverton of Kansas State University. In agricultural news, the Senate could consider legislation on climate change when it returns after the Memorial Day recess. And USDA is releasing the results today of a two-year study on the impact of global warming on agriculture. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will be by with what to consider when replanting corn. It's all on the Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City July wheat. 8.05 up 7 and a quarter. September, 8.17 and three quarters up 5 and three quarters at the Chicago Board of Trade. July wheat, 7.59 up 6 and a half. September, 7.74 and a quarter up 6 and a half. December, 7.96 up 6 and a half. July corn, 5.98 down 1 and three quarters. September, 6.11 down 1 and three quarters. December, 6.25 and a half down 1 and three quarters. March of 2009, 6.39 down 1 and a quarter. July beans, 13.47 and 3 quarters down 20 and a quarter. August, 13.51 and a half down 18 and a half. September, 13.44 and 3 quarters down 13 and a quarter. November, 13.41 and a quarter down 12 and a quarter. July soybean meal, 3.35 down 1.60. July soybean oil, 62.20 down 1.36. No settlements in the live cattle pit. The last there, 96.80 up 62 and a half. That the June contract. August feeders settling though at 115.25 up 2.5. And those are the settlement prices from Kansas City and the Chicago Board of Trade. Taking a look at outside markets for you, July crude oil at 128.75 is off 3.44. August 129.15 is off 3.09. The June ethanol contract settling at 248.5, up 1.6. June RBOB, 337.50, down 2.10. June heating oil, 379, down 7.56. June propane at 171.75 is down 1.50. The silver contract for July settling at 17.46 and a half, down 82.5 cents, while over in the gold pit, the June contract at 907.90 is off $17.90 on a settlement basis. U.S. dollar currently trading at 72.30, up almost 32 cents. The CRB index at 425.52 is down just over 5.5 points. Scott Olthoff's two-state forecast tonight says in northern areas, partly cloudy and unseasonably cool. In central sections, partly to mostly cloudy. In southern sections, cloudy with a chance of scattered showers. And lows ranging from 37 in northern Indiana to 62 in the south. Then tomorrow, in northern and central sections, partly to mostly sunny. In southern sections, mostly cloudy. And highs ranging from 55 near the Chicago lakefront to 75 degrees in the south.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Dave.
Well, there could have been any number of fundamental factors that came out today that could have, if it was just a week ago, pushed crude oil prices higher, including ideas that crude oil production in Mexico fell by 13% in April compared with a year ago, the temporary shutdown of a North Sea oil platform, and the latest in what has been a large number of oil pipeline bombings in Nigeria. None of that came to pass, and we're seeing about a $6 range almost in the crude oil pit today.
Yeah, we've traded from 128.18 to 133.65, so quite a range today. We're down $3.71 now, and that's what sort of come into the closing ranges, especially in the beans today, Dave, is when the crude oil was only down about $1.80 or so, and then turned and went over $3 lower in those last few minutes of trade. So we're connected at the hip again, the bean market and the crude oil market. So it is, like you say, somewhat amazing that would cause a sell-off at this point in time with all those things going on. But we are seeing a little bit of backup in the crude oil today, and we'll hopefully see it reflected at the pump.
Well, supplies continue to build, and the estimates out today suggests that gas stocks will go up about another 100,000 gallons or so when the numbers come out on Thursday, and yet, at least here in our backyard, it hasn't been reflected at the pump.
No, we're seeing fours in front of a lot of things over here. I know, we're in the $3.90s to $4, depending on which station you drive by. But I do think that that's being reflected in a little less driving and a little less running around in gas purchases out there, and that's what we need to do, is slow down a little bit of our consumption, and we might be able to back this price up a little bit. But all in all, it's not just the U.S., it's China and India and the other markets out there, Dave. And, of course, as we talked about this morning, the hurricane forecast and one tropical storm forming now looks to be headed towards us, but doesn't look to hit any of the refinery areas or the Gulf or the oil platforms. So, but a long ways out there, and a lot of development to go, and a long hurricane season yet to start going through.
Which is why this morning I sort of suggested that maybe, just maybe, for a short period of time, 3 or 4 weeks, where we might be in a phase of consolidation to a lower trend, and then when that hurricane season begins to come upon us, maybe we begin to trend back up higher. And I'm wondering if today's action gives any credence to those ideas or not.
Well, I think that there's that possibility. I think that the building gas stocks, the idea that things are going a little better, are probably a little more influential. The dollar strengthening a little bit, helping us on that forefront. But, not to say anything that you're saying there's anything but a very good possibility. And we'd be glad to have a short downtrend here in that. But downtrend in the crude oil doesn't do well for the beans. Now, and one of the reasons that people need to understand is the index funds, because of the way that they are structured, have to have a certain percentage of their money tied up in the different commodities of what that they say their basket is going to be. And as crude oil goes up, their investment in crude oil goes up. So to keep the proportions right, why they buy more grains. So that's one of the reasons that it's been quite so positive, the grains, is when the crude has went up so much.
To what degree will the move on crude oil today and probably chatter in the marketplace, noise in the marketplace, perhaps drowned out fundamentals that we're going to see in a few minutes from NASS regarding emergence rates?
I think that we will look closely at those numbers, Dave. I think they might be overshadowed a little bit, but I think we're going to look very closely at those. Look how corn finished today. Dees corn only down 1¾ cents with crude down over $3. That tells us we're a little bit scared about getting corn in late, the emergence we're having, and possibility that some acres in some places like Missouri, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, in that where it's too wet, aren't going to get planted to corn.
And those rates, if they're behind, and most folks believe they will be behind on this report, Looking at the weather forecast for the next week or so, Wayne, do you think they begin to rally and catch up or not?
Well, I think, you mean as far as the planning or the amount, the emergence and the planning?
Compared with the five-year rolling average.
We're behind, and we're going to stay behind at least for another week here, Dave, because, you know, there's no way. We've got some rain showers that come across Illinois, southern Illinois, southern Indiana. Those are the parts, and Missouri, and those are the parts that have been hurting is way behind. And it's hard to catch up when the places that haven't got planted can't get in the field. I mean, the places that are dry, northern Illinois, northwestern Iowa, or southwestern Minnesota and like that, they've got in the field and made tremendous progress. We were way ahead of those areas, and we haven't done much here for the past 3 weeks. And south of here is even worse. And as we talked to some of our customers down around the St. Louis area, there's some places that have freshly tiled fields that were tiled last fall, and the creeks they're draining into are too high for the tiles to even work, and the fields are underwater. So there's some areas that are going to definitely use prevented plant on their insurance.
Are commercials looking to buy on the breaks?
I believe they will. I believe that they will be very interested in wanting to own some corn, you know, for export, for ethanol needs and like that. And I think that on some breaks we will see some commercial buying.
Thank you very much, Wayne. You have a great day.
Thank you, David.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in Newmarket, Indiana, and he joins us every Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, debate in the Senate on climate change legislation is expected when lawmakers return from its congressional recess on June 2nd. 60 votes are needed to begin the discussion. The bill calls for mandatory cuts in U.S. greenhouse gas emissions up to 70% by 2050, using current levels as a baseline. All three remaining presidential candidates favor climate change legislation and a cap-and-trade system that allows carbon credits that can be bought, traded, or sold, creating financial incentives to reduce pollution. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development and the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization are releasing its annual Agricultural Outlook Report on Thursday. The report is expected to answer questions such as, has the world entered a new era of higher food prices, and what factors will drive agricultural prices over the coming years? Even though there's still some work left to do on the Farm Bill, USDA says it's hard at work establishing county loan rates for the 2008 winter wheat crop. The Senate must still deal with the trade title legislation left out of the bill sent to the president for consideration. Australian Trade Minister Simon Crean says President George Bush's decision to veto the Farm Bill is good for the Doha round of agricultural negotiations. But Australian Agriculture Minister Tony Burke says Congress could have done much more to reform trade. Burke calls it, quote, a missed opportunity by Congress to reform U.S. agricultural policies, particularly given the current high crop prices and good producer returns. A South Dakota State University study suggests dried distiller's grain could be used for human consumption, helping to fight world hunger. The study says DDGs are a high source of fiber and protein and can be used as a substitute for up to 20% of the flour used in some baked products. Ethanol plants would need to remove the oil from corn at the beginning of the ethanol process in order to make DDGs food grade. USDA today is releasing the results of a two-year study on the impact of global warming on agriculture. The report is expected to examine the effects of climate change on agriculture, land, water, and biodiversity over the next 25 to 50 years. A primary goal of the report is to cultivate a better understanding of the stresses climate change will impose on agriculture. The General Counsel for the U.S. Trade Representative says a bill designed to strengthen U.S. tools to enforce trade agreements is unnecessary. Warren Maruyama says the measure could invite retaliation against U.S. farm exports to China. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus says the Bush administration has not been aggressive enough in enforcing the growing number of trade agreements it has negotiated, as well as long-standing PACs. And a federal judge will decide whether to gather several lawsuits over genetically modified rice under one class action suit that would include thousands of U.S. rice farmers. The case hinges on economic damage suffered by producers after a strain of Bayer Crop Science AG's experimental rice was released into the food supply in 2006. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Farmers in southern Illinois and other parts of the Midwest will be looking to replant some corn this week. Todd Gleason has this advice from the University of Illinois on how to set about getting it into a clean environment.
The easiest way to set up for replanting corn is to kill the existing stand mechanically. That's not always possible. It can be done chemically, says University of Illinois weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Well, first of all, in areas that will need to be replanted that have a significant stand of existing corn from the first planting, we advise and encourage farmers to try to control those plants before they actually go into the fields to be replanted. Obviously, the choice and decision to do that would be based on whatever the existing population is there. But if farmers elect to use herbicide instead of tillage to control that first planting stand, then really those types of applications should very much be done before the replanting occurs.
So preferably apply the herbicide, one that will kill the corn, before the replant is done. Be sure to read the label. It will have some specific instructions, most likely on the interval between application and planting. For instance, there is no interval for glyphosate.
Glyphosate products would be a very effective choice, and they can be used with no interval between application and the replanting operation. Corn is very sensitive to glyphosate. However, with all the acres of Roundup Ready corn or glyphosate-resistant corn has been planted, obviously that's not going to be an effective herbicide option for them to choose.
Other herbicide choices are not as good. The options Hager has tested in field over the last several years have controlled corn at the rate of about 80% to 85%. This is on corn in the 2 to 4 leaf stage.
Products that had Gramoxone plus Syncor were usually about the most effective treatments that we've looked at for a couple of years, but again, very difficult to achieve 100% control of those of that first planting. One of the newest additions in the herbicide arena that could be find application in this scenario is Select Max, a new formulation of clethodim from Valent. And earlier this year, it actually received a supplemental label to be used to control a first stand of glyphosate-resistant corn should a field need to be replanted. So clethodim, very active on corn. It's very, very good, very effective option for managing corn.
Hager says the label on this product specifies applications using 6 fluid ounces per acre. However, there are 2 very important cautions. Don't overlap the product, and the second relates to the very first point in our story. There must be a 6-day interval between application and planting. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with our weekly look at the energies is Mike Wolverton of Kansas State University. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon to you, Dave.
A real big move today in the crude oil pit, Mike, from about $2 and change up to finally settling at $334, $128.85 in the July contract to the downside. What do you make of the move?
Well, it's an interesting move. I think we're just in an era when we're seeing markets fluctuate quite a bit on a day-to-day basis. The dollar strengthened a little bit. I'm not sure whether the oil price move was because the dollar strengthened or the dollar strengthened because of the oil price move, but we're sure happy to see oil price drop.
Do you think that we're in sort of a window where these crude oil prices can move lower? And I'm thinking roughly about a 30-day or so window before the hurricane season picks up?
Well, people have been saying all along that there is plenty of oil supply in the world, and we're questioning why oil prices were so high. So, yes, I think we might see oil prices come on down now that that psychological barrier was broken.
You know, we did see an article in the Financial Times that says that Taiwan, Malaysia, and Indonesia are all planning on lowering subsidies and raising prices of energy. The government's no longer wanting to subsidize energy for end users. What are the implications of that?
Well, the demand for energy in the form of gasoline and diesel fuel is fairly inelastic, but even so, it will respond to price signals. And so if the governments are going to allow those prices to rise, we'll see demand cut back a little bit, and that should help dampen the price of oil and gasoline and diesel fuel as well.
So I guess a question that producers will have is whether or not they should consider locking in diesel and or propane in this 30-day window or so. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's been a question producers have been mulling over for some time. But if we see these prices continue to fall, sure, I think it's going to be a good opportunity to lock in some lower prices because, as you hint, that hurricane season could be damaging. They're forecasting a fairly severe hurricane season, and U.S. refineries are really vulnerable to hurricanes.
Do you look for fertilizer prices to fall or not?
I really don't see that happening, Dave. We might see some fluctuations temporarily, but the presentations I've heard on fertilizer are saying 2 to 3 years before we see much increase in supply, and to me that says a fairly high price going forward.
So, and also I'm hearing that I guess wholesalers already booking higher price quantities, so why cut something that's already booked?
Well, that's true, and I think it's probably a good idea for producers to book fertilizer ahead because those dealers are not going to be ordering fertilizer unless they do have contracts on it. And so a producer might run the risk of going into fall tillage or spring planting and not finding fertilizer available unless it's contracted ahead.
Let's take a look at natural gas and the technicals there, and let me ask you whether you think that prices are bottoming seasonally or not.
Typically, we are coming off of a high-use period for natural gases, and so we should see price moderate somewhat going forward as we go into the summer months.
Now, you're out there in Kansas, so I'm going to go ahead and flip off the energy hat for a second and throw on my wheat hat and ask you what the crop out there looks like.
It looks pretty good, and we've had good rains the past several days. There has been some hail along with it, and we don't have an assessment of that damage yet. The harvest has moved as far north as the Texas-Oklahoma line and will be continuing, and they're going to be running into some really good wheat in central, north-central Oklahoma and on up into Kansas. And so right now the crop looks pretty good.
What kind of yields are we talking?
I think that yields in Texas have been disappointing, which might be why we've seen wheat prices up a little bit. But as they move up into Oklahoma and Kansas, the yields are going to be pretty good. I was on the wheat tour, and we evaluated some crops and saw some pretty good yields. And so I think we're going to see yields improve as they go further north.
Thank you much, Mike.
Talk with you later, Dave.
That's Mike Wolverton, energy analyst at Kansas State University. It's National Grape Popsicle Day. The invention of the popsicle goes to Frank Epperson, who in 1905 mixed some soda, water, powder, and water together and left the mixture on the back porch overnight with the stirring stick still in it. That night, the temperature dropped to a record low that froze the mixture solid. 18 years later, in 1923, the Epsicle hit the market in 7 fruit flavors. The name was later changed to the Popsicle. In the first 4 years, Epperson sold more than 60 million ice pops. On this day in agricultural history in 1907, Rachel Louise Carson was born. An American biologist, Carson wrote Silent Spring. The book was concerned with the dangers of environmental pollution, especially DDT. In 1930, Richard G. Drew of St. Paul, Minnesota, patented transparent cellophane adhesive tape. He worked out a deal with 3M to market the tape under the trademark Scotch. In 1933, the first automatic soda fountain dispenser was introduced by Coca-Cola. And in 1941, the U.S. Federal Register published the definition of enriched flour, giving specifications for required amounts it must contain of vitamin B, niacin, and iron. By the way, the effective date of riboflavin as a required ingredient of enriched flour is postponed until April 20th of 1943 because the available supply was inadequate. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Want to begin our discussion with a look at the Western Corn Belt and ask you whether over the next several days there's a greater bias for wet conditions than on the eastern side.
Yes, there is. This is going to be especially true for Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, up in the Wisconsin area, as well as northeastern Kansas and some areas of Missouri. Those areas looking at some pretty high chances for precipitation off and on in the form of some heavy thunderstorms and unfortunately severe weather through this week and into the weekend. That northwest Corn Belt, especially northern Iowa, Minnesota, and eastern areas of Nebraska, probably looking at the heaviest moisture.
And then the eastern side, please.
Well, still, good chances for everybody to get rained on. Shower and thunderstorm activity is going to be frequent, and there's going to be some areas receiving above normal amounts of precipitation. We're talking areas that could have 3/4 to upwards to 1.5 inches to 2 inches of rain, while it will be heavier rain out in those northwest areas. So rain chances are going to be very high with temperatures just about normal, if not a little below.
We're hearing a lot of talk about wet feet for soybeans down in parts of the Delta, especially the northern Delta. Are they going to get warmer temperatures and less rain so things dry out or not?
They have the chance for seeing both less chances of rain and some warmer temperatures, but not necessarily in the short term. I think for what's left of this week, there will be a couple of systems bringing rain to the Delta areas, but after that, it does look warmer and drier early to mid-next week, but they've probably got another 5 days or so here coming on up where there's going to be more chances for wet weather.
Is there anything that you're seeing in your research that suggests we're going to be soon flipping the switch from this wetter bias to something more normal?
Not yet. We continue to see the North Pacific churning out some active weather, and really that's the culprit for all this, is a lot of activity coming off the Pacific for really not normal for this late in May heading into early June. I suspect from what we're seeing, while we are going to trend warmer, the chances for precipitation at least through June 10th are still going to remain fairly high.
Sub-freezing temperatures tonight in some parts of the northern Corn Belt?
Looks like that is a possibility. It's pretty cold up there, although whether or not it's going to be damaging, hard to say. It's really hard this time of year to get much more than a couple of hours of temperatures near that freezing point, but there might be a few areas affected, but probably not widespread.
Turn your attention to the world picture, where in Australia they're trying to get a crop in the ground, and it's pretty dry.
Yeah, it is pretty dry, and unfortunately the chances of moisture are very limited in Australia. Only the far eastern portions of the country have some shower chances, and those are going to be light in the short term, and over the next 10 days, the precipitation is going to be very spotty, favoring the west and east coast areas. The interior chances are going to be low.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.